I want to see how many high church people we have. I'm going to say that again. He is risen. All right. All right. There are some here. Great. We gather here, like I say, this time of year for Easter to celebrate Jesus Christ raising from the dead. And it's on Sunday morning. Now, this is Saturday night, so we can't celebrate that he's still in the grave, but we can celebrate that he died for our sin. Amen. Man, it's really exciting. And so we know because he raised from the dead, he had all the sin placed upon him, and he raised from the dead, so it just goes to stand, we raise from the dead. And that one day, I look at it, you know, and as I get older, my bones start to hurt and all those kind of things, I think, man, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. I already run around, but I'm going to run around twice as fast, okay? You just see me. All right, turn with me to Matthew 27:2 if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it up on the screen. I want to talk about one of the apostles, Jesus' apostles, that had a close connection to Jesus. And when I talk about this gentleman, you think, why are you doing this on Easter? Well, just hang in there with me. You always know it ties up at the end, right? And this gentleman never experienced forgiveness and the beauty of what you and I have found in Christ's death and resurrection. So let's just read Matthew 27:2. I'm just going to read it for tonight. And when they had bound him, in Jesus, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver and in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Boy, isn't that a great message for tonight? You know, each year since 1970, Madame Tussaud's Wax Museum, they have thousands and thousands of visitors. We have several of them in the United States, several in Europe. And they ask each person the name of a person, past, present, real, fictional, that they hate and fear the most. And, of course, the top of the list is the most number of times that people vote, and that's obviously Adolf Hitler. And that's a wax, but that's pretty good wax, isn't it, of him. Saddam Hussein is right up there. And then, especially in Europe, we have a lot of American presidents, okay? But as far as I can tell, Judas Iscariot has never made that list. And I mean, think about it. This is a man who betrayed Jesus Christ. His name is synonymous with betrayal today. I mean, when you or I feel betrayed or somebody exposes us in a way we don't like, many times I've heard and I've said myself kiddingly, oh, thanks a lot, Judas. And we totally understand it, don't we? It certainly isn't an honored name. In fact, I doubt you're going to go down the street and see a church with the name St. Judas Church. Right? Or the flavor of the month where you're getting ready to name your kids. I have never seen on those names one of the popular names being Judas. In fact, a letter was written in the New Testament by Jesus' stepbrother, one of his brothers, and it has been shortened to be Jude because he didn't want his full name Judas. It wasn't a bad name then, it is now. So who was this Judas Iscariot? We don't really know a whole lot about him. We see him a few times mentioned in the New Testament. His father was named Simon. His surname was Iscariot. probably a combination of the Hebrew words ish and Kariot, which was translated a man of Kariot, and that's a city in southern Israel. From the scriptures, we discovered that he was appointed treasurer to the 12 and that he was stealing from that treasure. But what would compel a man like Judas to sentence a close friend like Jesus, one of the most important, horrible deaths of all time? Well, there's been actually six reasons I've found that people have talked about as to why Judas would do this. Number one is being from Kerioth in the southern part of Israel, Judas would have been the only non-Galilean in the group. Now, he may have gone bitter, may have felt like he was iced out. He was odd man out. Maybe that's one. Number two is, it may be that he turned Jesus over to save his own skin and then saw the enormity of what he had done and tried to backtrack. Number three, maybe plain and simple, he did it out of greed. He just wanted money. And he probably would have denied that. But you know, when somebody says it's not about the money, it's always about the money. Yeah. 30 pieces of silver would have been worth close to around $12,000 today. So it's not bad for an evening's work, is it? Four. It could have been that he came to hate Christ because he couldn't hide his inner self, his inner deceit from Christ. Others looked at Judas and thought, well, he's a nice guy. Maybe he's even a kind man, but Jesus could see right through him. Number five, it might be that Judas's last name was a derivative, or not a derivative of the Hebrew Iscariot, but much more, it could have been a Greek word meaning dagger bearer. Now, dagger bearer was a band of violent nationalists who were prepared to do anything at any means available, including assassination, to free Palestine from Roman rule. And perhaps Jesus had set his hopes on, perhaps Judas had set his hopes on the Messiah, that he would deliver the people, and then when he didn't, it was disappointment and he betrayed him. Number six, more likely than not, Judas never intended for Jesus to die that day. Instead, he hoped to force his hand when he betrayed him to use his power to liberate Israel. And if that was the case, then what a tragedy Judas witnessed when he saw his plan totally fail. But the question I think we need to ask ourselves this evening on this Easter weekend, 2014, is this. When Judas hung himself on that day, what did he miss? What did he miss? If we go back to our text in Matthew 27:5, it says, then Judas threw the money on the floor of the temple and went out and hanged himself. But if we keep reading, we're going to discover something, that Judas hung himself even before Jesus was sentenced. Before Pilate finished questioning Jesus, Judas was dead. Before Jesus was scourged with a whip, Judas was dead. Before the crown of thorns were pushed into his head, Jesus was dead. Before they nailed Jesus to the cross, Judas was dead. But the real tragedy is this, that when Jesus looked down from the cross to those who had mocked him and spit on him, and those who slapped him and struck him and jammed those vicious thorns into his head, and I've been in Israel and I've seen those thorns, my goodness, and they put them deep into his head, and then nailed him to a cross. When Jesus looked down and saw the mob, do you remember what he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Judas was already dead by his own hand. So the first and important thing that Judas missed out of all of this was the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now, you may be one of those who believe that Judas did a heinous or horrible thing, and that Judas never could be forgiven. But is that true in your life? Our Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord's not wanting anyone to perish. Or look at 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, when Paul says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men. Now, do I have to say all like I did last week? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Anyone, even old Judas. Just as it was Judas's decision to betray Christ, so it was Judas's choice to die unrepentant and go to hell. You know, the saddest part of the story is that Judas came so close to forgiveness, but never got there. Matthew 27:4, he says, I have sinned, for I have betrayed an innocent man. There was an acknowledgement of his sin. That's how close he got. In verse 3, in that same chapter, says this, and when Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. And he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests. Now, I think we're safe in saying that many of us have felt remorse or sorry over something particularly wrong in our life at one time or another. Amen? If you haven't, get in touch with yourself. Right? But usually only after we were caught. You look at your kids, if you have kids, and are they repentant at first? No. They're remorseful. They got caught. And there's going to be something to pay on that. And the same thing has happened to us. And so we might feel a sense of shame. We might feel that rejection. And even with all that, Judas still could not bring himself to ask for forgiveness. And there are people in churches today all over the metro area, and they may even be sitting here today. I don't know all of you here tonight. They may not know the truth, or may even know the truth of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of God's standard or of the glory of God. And they know, and they feel remorseful for that. They feel bad. They understand their shortcomings. But for some reason, they can't bring themselves to seek forgiveness from Christ. Now, I don't know what holds them back. I know what held me back before I came to Christ was pure, outright stubbornness in my life. What was it for you? And I do know that it's a dangerous game to play, because you don't have to hang yourself to miss the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen? 3 days after Jesus and Judas died, Jesus rose again, but Judas was still dead. And as Christ appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, he made a statement that would never have applied to Judas in John 20:19. If the worship team will return, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. We have a table over here, a table over here, and as the song is played, you can get up and go get your little cup of juice and your bread and take it back to your seat. Anyone's welcome here tonight to do that. Now let me read John 20:19. Then the same day that evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And so the second thing that Judas missed was peace. He seemed to live without it, and now it appears he died without it. And listen, you know, most people talk about peace, and we walk around in our community and we listen to people say, "Well, I feel at peace." They're talking about their circumstances, right? And sometimes we are at peace with our circumstances. Sometimes we are not. And every one of those people, when they say, "Oh, I feel total peace," how do they look the next week? Here's the problem. They don't have peace with God. They may have peace with their circumstances, but they don't have peace with God. The apostle says, Paul says this, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When we are given forgiveness through the grace of God, then our relationship with God is restored and we have peace with God. Judas never felt that peace. And within 10 days of that promise, the power of unparalleled magnitude swept through the world as Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. And that power has been given to us now who believe. Here's how Paul describes it. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, why did I use that verse for the Spirit? Because you can't do it yourself, can you? You cannot do that on your own. That power changes lives, and Judas missed that too. So today, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The team here is going to play a worship song. And as you go up and get your cup and your piece of bread and come back, I want you to think about those three things: the forgiveness of Christ, the peace of God, and then the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And let's praise God as we do that.